into the meaning of the story. So the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. When they ran out of wine, since the wine provided for the wedding was all finished, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, why turn to me? My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." There were 6 stone water jars standing there, meant for the ablutions that are customary among the Jews. Each could hold 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Draw some out now," he told them, "and take it to the steward." They did this. The steward tasted the water, and it had turned into wine. Having no idea where it came from, only the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "People generally serve the best wine first and keep the cheaper sort till the guests have had plenty to drink. But you have kept the best wine till now." This was the first of the signs given by Jesus. It was given at Cana in Galilee. He let his glory be seen, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. I'll just explain those who don't know about our Spirit Fest. This morning we had a beautiful walk in the wood in Killock. Then we had a music workshop where some beautiful music was learnt and that the people who took part are performing. And then in the afternoon we had a workshop. We invited somebody, a man who has dedicated his life to preaching the gospel. And I'm going to let him explain and introduce himself. His name is Scott Evans. And tonight we've invited Scott to come and to speak. So I'll introduce Scott now.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Probably not the guy you expected to get up. So my name is Scott. I'm an author, writer, podcaster, and most recently I'm still waiting on official confirmation, but all being well, within the next few weeks I'll be the new lay chaplain in UCD in Dublin. And I've been doing this full-time since I was 18. I've been working mainly with youth and young adults, looking at what does our faith mean to us today. And a huge part of that comes from my fascination with the Bible, with opening up scripture and wrestling with it and seeing it from different angles. And I don't know if you've ever done this exercise yourself, but it's definitely worth doing. Someday, take home the readings from a service and read them to yourself with different tones of voice. And if you're anything like me, they'll play out dramatically in your head, sometimes ridiculously. And this one in John 2 is very much like that. Depending on how you read it, Jesus could come across as rude. Mary comes to Jesus and says, "They've run out of wine." And how you believe Jesus' tone is says a lot about what you think about Jesus. He could have said, "Woman, what business is that of mine?" Which, of course, if he was me, he would have got him a clip around the ear talking to his mother like that. Or if you read it, "Woman, what business is that of mine?" There's all different ways to read the tone, and with the tone comes the character. And what's even better is Mary's response. Mary doesn't even, she doesn't even answer. She just turns to the servants and goes, "Just do whatever he says." Sometimes he can make a big deal out of things. She didn't say that. What I love is that this doesn't seem to be a miracle that Jesus planned. It's a miracle that comes as a request. Mary comes and says to Jesus, "They've run out of wine." And so Jesus decides to respond. And here is where we have what fascinates me, and that's in the weird details, the mathematics of it all. This is in John chapter 2, and Jesus turns and he looks and he sees 6 empty stone vessels. and commands the servants to fill them. And these empty vessels that are not being used as part of this festival, because in the past they've been used, at other times they would be used for religious purposes, but here in the celebration they are unused. He says, fill them up to the brim. And when they do, they pour them out, and when they pour them out, the most ordinary water becomes the most beautiful wine. And there are 6 stone vessels. And at this point, how many disciples are there? Well, in James 1, we have Jesus calls Nathanael and he calls Philip. He calls Andrew, who calls his brother Simon Peter, and another disciple we think to be James. And James doesn't go anywhere without his brother, the author, John. And so here we find that the first miracle the disciples ever see is 6 of them standing with Jesus, telling the servants to fill 6 empty ordinary things in the belief that once they are overturned, they will become the most beautiful wine. This miracle that comes as a result of a request also to me is a promise that we, when we allow Christ to fill us, when we look at the ordinary things with which we're filled, if we allow him to take us and to tip us, the world tastes the most beautiful wine. And so we have wine, and also at the feeding of the 5,000 we have bread, where Jesus goes and he teaches for a full afternoon, and they're loving it far more than the guys here loved my afternoon's teaching today. 5,000 people show up to listen to Jesus and they're fascinated and it's wondrous. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, send these people home so they can get some food. And Jesus says, well, why don't you feed them? And they say, well, that's ridiculous. It would be months of salary for us to try and feed all these people. And Jesus asks this beautiful and brilliant question. He says, well, what do you have? And they say, well, we have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. And so he takes them. He gives thanks for them. And then he breaks them and starts passing them out. And at the end of it, each disciple is holding a basket filled with scraps that in itself is more than they started with. Because when Jesus takes us, breaks us, and gives us away, there's always more at the end than there is at the beginning. For me, this is the beauty of communion in the Eucharist. In taking the bread and wine, we are not just partaking, we are also participating. The invitation is not just to come forth, but also to go out. The promise is not that God will help us have it all together, but that he will take us, break us, and give us away. And when he does, it'll always be more extraordinary than you think. And there'll always be more of you and him than you ever knew there was.
Pretty good, isn't he? And I'm not saying that in any condescending way, but it was lovely teaching. And Scott is an author as well. He's written some books, and there's a table down at the back, and if you'd like to meet Scott afterwards and just look at his books, you're very welcome to do so. Would you stand now, please, and we'll offer our prayers.